Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Texas moves to test everyone in nursing homes. The Associated Press. Austin. Governor Greg Abbott on Monday ordered coronavirus testing for all Texas nursing home residents and staff after the White House urged the nation's governors to do so as deaths mount nationwide. The directive by Abbott, a Republican, to state health officials came hours after Vice President Mike Pence, who leads the White House Coronavirus Task Force, told governors on a video conference call that it was the federal government's strong recommendation to test all nursing home residents in the U.S. in the next 2 weeks. It also came as San Antonio officials announced the first death of an employee at a nursing home that in April was struck by one of Texas' first major outbreaks. More than 100 people tested positive for the virus at Southeast Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, and 18 residents have died.
This is Michael reading obituaries from the Odessa American, Tuesday, May 12th. Raxton Lewis Jones, Washington, D.C. Raxton Lewis Jones ran through the gates of heaven on May 5th, 2020, in Washington, D.C. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m., Tuesday, May 12th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Austin Neal officiating. Social distancing is still in place, so for those who wish to remain in their vehicles, you will be able to listen in via radio, tuned to FM channel 104.9. And for those unable to attend, please visit Raxton's obituary at www.sunsetodessa.com. Raxton was born in Odessa, Texas, to Ryan and Lindsay Jones on July 3, 2014. Born with X-linked myotubular myopathy, MTM, Raxton faced many everyday challenges. Ryan and Lindsay are in the process of creating a foundation on behalf of Raxton to help other MTM kids and families. Donations can be made toward the foundation in lieu of flowers, and they can be made the following ways. Venmo at Ryan-Jones-826. PayPal, Miss LINDS87@yahoo.com. GoFundMe, www.gofundme.com/F/Raxton-Jones-funeral-expenses. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Delman Dennis Lyons. Delman Dennis Lyons, 84, died Friday, May 8th. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Alice Jane Clapture Vales. Alice Jane Clapture Vales, 92, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 10th, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Maxine Nall Kaufman, Midland. Maxine Nall Kaufman, 88, of Gardendale, died Saturday, May 9th, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., May 12th, at Nally Pickle and Welch, Rosewood Chapel. Interment will follow at Trinity Memorial Park. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Big Spring.
Health and wellness. Healthy lifestyle can improve immune response. Padmaja Patel, Lifestyle Medicine Center. Coming soon, an informational webinar on the Diabetes Reversal Program is planned for May 14. For more information, call the Lifestyle Medicine Center at 221-LIFE. Just like everyone else, I too would like to fast forward the time button and return to the lives that we all were leading pre-pandemic. But if we take this artificial pause that has been given to us to reassess our priorities and reset our course, then it surely would serve its purpose. Every adversity is an opportunity to learn and grow. As a lifestyle medicine provider, I am very optimistic. I look to time post-COVID-19 as an opportunity to bring conversations about lifestyle medicine to the front and center of all healthcare-related policies and discussions. We all know that we should take care of ourselves and take all the necessary precautions to avoid getting the coronavirus infection. But is there anything else that we should be doing to improve our immune resilience so that our body may be better equipped to fight the infection in case we get it? Well, what we do know is that a healthy lifestyle can help improve our body's immune response. Nutrition. Consumption of more fruits and vegetables can provide us essential micronutrients, antioxidants, flavonoids, and carotenoids. Whole plant foods are nutrient-rich and fiber-dense, which help feed our gut microbiome. When our gut microbiota works optimally, they offer protection against infection. In addition, intermittent fasting can help improve our immunity to fight infections. Exercise. Moderate physical activity compared to a sedentary lifestyle improves immunity and protects us from infections. It may more directly contribute by promoting good circulation, which allows the cells and substances of the immune system to move through the body freely and do their job efficiently. Sleep. Sleep and the circadian system are strong regulators of immunological processes, and lack of sleep predisposes us to have poor immune responses and increased susceptibility to infection. Stress. Excessive stress decreases our immune system's ability to fight the infection, and it can cause exaggerated inflammatory responses that can hurt as much as the infection itself. Social connection. Social support is associated with lower inflammation, better immune response, and is thus intimately related to better health. Apart from finding drugs and a vaccine to combat this virus, we will have to dig deeper to think about the root problem that brought us into this pandemic totally unprepared. It is the current disparity in healthcare spending. About 95% of healthcare spending is on direct medical care. Not enough is spent on public health initiatives. 90% of the nation's $3.5 trillion annual health expenditures are for people with chronic and mental health conditions, according to the CDC. Chronic diseases have significant health and economic costs in the United States. Preventing chronic diseases or improving symptoms when prevention is not possible can reduce these costs. One striking observation from the COVID-19 pandemic is that those who had multiple chronic conditions have increased risk and worse outcomes. There is only one specialty of medicine that confidently talks about reversing chronic diseases, and that is lifestyle medicine. Other specialties focus on managing them. COVID-19 also has forced us to rethink how we deliver healthcare, and many providers have embraced telehealth platforms to offer ongoing care to their patients. I am excited to report that the Lifestyle Medicine Center is now offering many of its programs remotely. At the Lifestyle Medicine Center, we understand that changing behavior is not easy or straightforward. It is complex and influenced by a variety of factors. We believe behavior change requires more than education and motivation. Also, research in cognitive science has indicated that knowing is not half the battle. It is actually a very tiny factor when it comes to behavior change. Real, sustained, positive changes in health behavior require a scientific approach and ongoing support in order to lead to meaningful outcomes. That is why our approach to testing chronic diseases involves an entire team, including a physician, registered dietitian, health coach, and exercise and stress management expert. I am excited to report that our very popular diabetes reversal program is now available on a virtual platform. Participants can join in from the convenience of their home or office once a week for this 12-week program that focuses on an intensive therapeutic lifestyle approach. Each class is for 1 hour and is offered by a team of experts. The program is covered by most commercial insurances, including Medicare. Dr. Padmaja Patel is director of The Lifestyle. Online resources are available for veterans from staff reports. West Texas VA Healthcare System is requesting that area veterans use online resources for routine or non-urgent mental health care and questions. This will help protect veterans from contracting coronavirus while enabling providers to focus those with the most acute needs, said the system's interim director. Due to COVID-19 precautionary measures and out of concern for our veterans, we are honoring current physical distancing guidelines, Jason Cave said in a statement. Through VA's virtual care tools, we are able to leverage available technology to make sure that our patients and staff are as safe as possible during this time. There are a variety of at-home resources available to veterans, phone or video appointments. Veterans can set up telephone or video appointments or send their healthcare provider a secure message through VA Video Connect. For more information, go to my-health.va.gov or mobile.va.gov/app/va-video-connect. Prescription refills. Veterans may request prescription refills and order shipments of medications to their homes using My Health the Vet or the RX Refill mobile app, which can be downloaded at mobile.va.gov/app/rx-refill. Mental health resources. VA provides information on ways for veterans and their families to maintain and enhance their mental health and well-being during the COVID-19 outbreak. Information about managing stress and anxiety, as well as mental health resources, are available at www.mentalhealth.va.gov/coronavirus/resources. Text message reminders. Veterans can use Annie's Coronavirus Precautions Protocol to send automated text messages with information about COVID-19. This application helps veterans monitor their symptoms and can assist those who need to contact their VA facility for care. Veterans may enroll in the app at mobile.va.gov/Annie. WTVAHCS has a well-established infrastructure to offer a multitude of telehealth options. Veterans can call 24/7 to the nurse triage line at 1-866-862-7863 with their questions or concerns. For more information on ways to maintain and enhance mental health and well-being during the COVID-19 outbreak, visit www.mentalhealth.va.gov/coronavirus.
Midland College Profiles by Rebecca Bell. Former Midland College baseball player, works for the New York Yankees. Joe Will Bruda was a 19-year-old high school graduate from Youngstown, Ohio, when he first arrived in Midland in 2009 as a baseball recruit for the Chaparral's baseball team. "I was a long way from home and didn't know anything outside of my hometown," he said. "I didn't know what to expect. However, from the very start, I found Midland to be friendly and accommodating." Will Bruda credits retired MC Student Activities Director Jan Reed and Secretary Jan Johnston with making him feel at home during his 2 years at MC. "They were caring, like my second moms." He played baseball at MC when David Coleman was head coach. Current Chaps head coach Hector Rodriguez, Coach Rod, was an assistant coach at the time. Rodriguez described Will Bruda as one of the all-time great Chaps. "The coaches stressed team camaraderie and accountability," Will Bruda said. "They told us, you won't remember the games. In a few years, it won't matter that you played New Mexico Junior College on May 24th. What you will remember are the times you spend with your teammates. To this day, I still keep in touch with Coach Coleman and Coach Rod and a lot of the guys who played with me at Midland College. One other person that I would like to mention is Forrest Allen, MC Athletic Director. He was like a father figure to me and all of the athletes at MC. He took so much pride in us, and I will always remember him taking pictures with his camera at all the sporting events. Will Bruda transferred to the University of North Florida in Jacksonville in 2011 and became a member of the UNF Ospreys baseball team. He graduated in 2013 with a bachelor's degree in public relations and communications. I also credit Midland College with my choice of a major, Will Bruda explained. I've always been interested in business relationships and effective communication. When I was at MC, Joe Willis was my public speaking professor. He was awesome. He helped me become comfortable with speaking in groups. I found that I enjoyed giving presentations and finding the best way to communicate with people. Will Bruda has now combined his love of baseball and his degree into a successful career. After graduating from UNF, he spent a year interning with the New York Yankees in their public relations office, where he was given the opportunity to put his communication skills into practice through various responsibilities, including writing press releases and game notes and compiling roster moves. He then spent a year working in Woodbridge, Virginia, for the Washington Nationals Advanced A Team, the Potomac Nationals, and 2 years in Indianapolis, Indiana, working for the Pittsburgh Pirates AAA team, the Indianapolis Indians. In 2017, the New York Yankees offered Will Bruda an opportunity to work for them once again, this time in Tampa, Florida, as the team's minor league complex. Will Bruda is the Yankee minor league video coordinator. As such, he collects data and video from each of the 8 Yankees' minor league teams and compiles them so that the players' progress of development can be tracked. He refers to himself as a video librarian. So far in my career, I've had the opportunity to travel all over the U.S. and the Dominican Republic, Will Bruda said. All of my jobs have given me the opportunity combine my baseball savvy with my communications background. When asked if the minor leagues would be able to play this year, Will Bruda said the team is still waiting to hear a plan from Major League Baseball. The Yankees minor league complex in Tampa was closed on March 13th, according to an article in Newsday, Long Island's daily newspaper. We have lots of Zoom meetings, Will Bruda said. However, no one knows yet when or if the 2020 season will start. Everyone is remaining optimistic for baseball to be played in 2020. We are all anxiously awaiting to hear. During the off-season, and when he has some downtime, Will Bruda enjoys the outdoor life in Tampa, especially running and rollerblading. His favorite spot is the Tampa Riverwalk, which runs along Tampa's beautiful waterfront. The views are amazing, he said. Even though Will Bruda has been away from Midland for 9 years, he still keeps in touch with Midland and Midland College. He said he follows MC's social media and Midland Reporter-Telegram sports editor Oscar Leroy on Twitter. I will never forget my time at Midland College, Will Bruda said. I credit a lot of who I am to my 2 years at MC. A commentary from the Dallas Morning News. How can we help Texas students make up for lost learning time? We realize, as everyone should, that our schools have been thrown into an impossible situation. COVID-19 forced the closure of thousands of school buildings and pushed all schoolwork online. We're proud of our school districts and specifically appreciate our teachers for jumping in with both feet to meet this challenge. They have mounted Herculean efforts to quickly revamp how Texas's 5 million students are educated. But as a community, we should also admit that nowhere was handling this pandemic in the plans. We knew that throwing everyone into this at once was going to be hard. The unfortunate fact is that nothing could possibly come close to the intense learning environment of kids actually being in the classroom. Kids who were struggling before all this began will be further behind, and even those who weren't have not made the meaningful academic progress. In too many cases, distance learning has been a case of something is better than nothing. It all adds up to a critical need for remedial work for students as they head into the uncertainty of the next school year. State and local education officials are rightly meeting weekly to figure out what school might look like next year on this as this virus rages. We also urge them not to lose sight of the fact that all of our school children will need a lot of help to catch up. We like where Dallas ISD is headed with expanding its summer program for struggling students. We praised the Creating Accelerated Performance, or CAP, CAP program when it started last summer because it was designed to boost achievement for African American and English language learners who struggled. Superintendent Michael Hinosa told us that this summer the program will involve virtual learning for a selected group of students in grades 3, 5, and 8 who will be urged to participate by teachers and principals from their home schools. But that program is planned for about 1,600 only, 1% of the district's 150,000 students. Dallas and districts across the state will need to come up with a bigger and broader approach to help tens of thousands of students make up for what they didn't get at the end of this school year. It won't be popular in this state, but serious consideration needs to be given to starting the school year early to make up for lost time. We know that even under normal circumstances, gains in public education can sometimes feel like pushing a boulder up a steep hill. Add to that the fact that many kids suffer a regular summer setback, by most estimates at least double-digit losses, in math and reading gains. We know this won't be easy. This disease brings an added complexity and a challenge none of us could have anticipated. But for the sake of the future of our cities and our state, it's one we can't afford not to meet head-on. ECISD nutrition employee tests positive by J.C. Lewis, jcy.lewis@hearstnp.com. Friday night, ECISD leaders learned one of the school nutrition workers tested positive for coronavirus, according to a press release from ECISD. This employee was on the cafeteria team at Gonzales Elementary School. She worked only inside the cafeteria and had no direct contact with families picking up meals. All the school nutrition workers, those inside as well as those outside on the serving line, are supplied with and instructed to wear the proper personal protective equipment and maintain social distancing during meal service. This employee last worked on May 1st. On the evening of May 5th, she informed her supervisor that one of her family members tested positive for COVID-19. She was scheduled to be tested the next day. Taking all the necessary precautions, ECISD informed the other members of the Gonzales Elementary team and told them to begin self-quarantining that same day. All the kitchens are cleansed and sanitized throughout meal service and at the end of each workday. After the Gonzales kitchen was thoroughly sanitized, a new cafeteria team was put in place last week to continue serving meals at the school. Friday night, the results of the employee's test came back positive. ECISD has consulted with health department officials who agreed with the actions already taken and supported continued use of Gonzales Elementary as a meal site. ECISD wants to make sure families who get meals at Gonzales Elementary are aware of this and reassure them that ECISD will continue to take all safety precautions while working to meet the needs of their students, families, and the community as a whole. Education Briefs from Staff Reports. Local school named Imagine Nation Schools of Excellence. Six Midland ISD campuses have been named Imagine Nation School of Excellence by Imagine Learning for their exceptional work with Imagine Math in 2019 and 20. Scarborough Elementary and Pease Communications and Technology Academy were awarded for their work in the PK2 division, while Carver Center, Long Elementary, Rusk Elementary, and Washington STEM Academy were recognized for grades 3 through 6. MISD Elementary Math Director Wendy DeVault delivered the news to principals of the winning schools. "Congratulations for earning this prestigious honor," she said. "We appreciate your hard work in guiding your teachers, students, and parents toward achieving these goals." The winning schools were recognized for their work with Imagine Math, a web-based program that caters lessons to support students at their own pace and emphasizes problem-solving and conceptual understanding. "We began using computer-based programs to support Tier 1 instruction several years ago," said Jill Rivera, Executive Director of Professional Development. "Now that online learning has become part of our new reality, it's great for these campuses, teachers, and families to receive recognition for students' work in these areas. We are very proud of all involved." More than 16,000 schools nationwide participate in Imagine Learning programs, but fewer than 1%, 134 for 2019 and 20, receive the School of Excellence distinction. Winning campuses are selected for demonstrating outstanding usage, dedication, and implementation of the programs throughout the year. The winning schools will receive an Imagine Nation School of Excellence banner to display on campuses. Odessa teacher 3D prints face masks. Harmony Science Academy, Odessa, has found a way to use the school's classroom technology to help address a critical need during the COVID-19 crisis. Ferhat Demir has spent the school system's COVID-19 closure inside the lab, 3D printing medical face shields to help alleviate the shortage of supplies experienced by healthcare workers across the region. A donation of 75 face shields was presented to the Ector County Emergency Management Department. Harmony Public Schools has donated more than 2,500 masks to COVID-19 relief workers throughout Texas. Many of those masks were made by individual teachers working from home during the COVID-19 outbreak. The school system continues to seek donations of fabrication materials or other resources to help increase production. To donate, visit www.harmonytex.org/donate-COVID-19. Harmony Science Academy, Odessa, is a tuition-free, open-enrollment public charter school system for K through 8th grade, providing a high-quality education with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 9, 2020. Obituaries. Barbara Lynette Gillock. Barbara Lynette Gillock, beloved wife, mother, and grandmother, died on May 4, 2020 at her home in Marble Falls, Texas. She was 83 years old. She was born on December 25, 1936, to Louise and Orville E. Wood in Rising Star, Texas. She spent her childhood in Kermit, Texas, and at the age of 14 years met the love of her life, Buck Gillock. They were married in 1954 and both graduated together from Kermit High School in 1955. During their 65 years of marriage, they worked side by side, building a family and cultivating a home. Some of the most joyful years for Barbara were spent on the Walton Ranch during the early years of raising their four children. While Buck spent long days tending cattle, Barbara made a home of joy and beauty on the patch of West Texas desert. After moving from the ranch, they lived in Odessa and later Kermit. Some of the most difficult days for Barbara were in 1979, when their youngest daughter, Barbie, died at the age of 14 in a drowning accident. From that tragic day onward, Barbara longed for the day when she would be reunited with Barbie. Barbara's imagination came alive with creating a unique and welcoming home for her family. Her children, and later grandchildren, loved summer gatherings with homemade ice cream and cobbler made from her own backyard blackberry bushes. She made holidays into extravaganzas, always with a vast array of pies that spoke to her considerable sweet tooth. Her house at Christmas was a winter wonderland. Barbara's heart was turned toward helping those in need, both within her family and beyond it. In the late 1990s, she worked as a special education aide at Kermit High School, where she served and cared for special needs children. Over the years, she continued serving as caretaker of ill family and friends, making countless visits alongside them to doctor's offices, hospitals, and nursing homes. In 1999, Buck and Barbara moved to Marble Falls, where, once again, she put her creativity to work in transforming her new home from a wild piece of land into what can only be described as an oasis. She supplied the vision, and Buck used his muscle and skill to cultivate their new home. Barbara loved visiting, and in this home, she created the perfect spaces for catching up with family and old friends. Barbara had a consistent faith in her Lord Jesus Christ, to whom she committed her life to at an early age. She nurtured this faith in her children and grandchildren, and it was the foundation of her long marriage. She was a member of Granite Mountain Baptist Church. She and Buck loved to read scripture together early in the mornings. One of her favorite verses was, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. She is survived by her husband, Buck, her children Brenda, L.D. Green of Midland, Bill, Judy, Gillick of Midland, Beverly, Gary, Martin of Marble Falls, her 10 grandchildren, and her 21 great-grandchildren, as well as her sister, Linda Smith. She is preceded in death by her daughter, Barbie, and her granddaughter, Amanda Jean Stout. Our hearts ache at the loss of Barbara, whose laughter and presence meant the world to us. Just as she never gave up hope in one day meeting her Savior and being reunited with all of those who have gone before her, especially Barbie, we also look forward to seeing her again. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Graveside service will be held Monday, May 11, 2020, at 1 p.m. at the Kermit City Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.clementswilcoxfuneralhome.com. Death notices. Billy James, B.J., Lowell. Billy James, B.J., Lowell, 97, of Midland, passed away May 6, 2020. Memorial service is pending with Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Frankie A. Bartol. Frankie A. Bartol, 83, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, May 7, 2020, surrounded by her family. A graveside service will be 11 a.m. Monday, May 11, 2020, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Gonzalo Reyna. Gonzalo Reyna passed away Thursday, May 7, 2020, surrounded by his loving family. A private visitation will be held on Friday, May 8, 2020, at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will be held Saturday, May 9, 2020, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Interment will follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Survivors include his wife, Isidra Reyna, daughter Cecilia Lara, Zoila Salgado, Rosemary Camacho, Delia Zamudio, Mary Camacho, sons Gonzalo Reyna, Nicolas Reyna, Salvador Reyna, George Reyna, and five sisters. Funeral arrangements were under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. Russell Reinhardt. Russell Reinhardt, 62, of Cottonwood Shores, Texas, passed away May 5, 2020. The family will receive guests from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, May 10, 2020, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, May 11, 2020, at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton. Survivors include mother, Dolly Reinhardt, brother, Monte Reinhardt, and sisters, Vicki Reinhardt and Kelly Reinhardt. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 9th, 2020. Obituaries for Saturday, May 9th. Rita Hamel. Rita Hamel, 96, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, May 6th. Family and friends celebrated her life Saturday, May 9th at McNett Funeral Home Chapel with Pastor Brent O'Connor officiating. Interment followed in the Andrews Old Cemetery. Please visit www.mcnettfuneralhome.com for family pictures or videos. Rita was born October 8, 1923 in Okemah, Oklahoma, to Harry, Jack, and Ruby Roach Walter. She married Donald Hamel in Norman, Oklahoma. She was preceded in death by her husband, Don Hamel, daughter Donna Pennington, a great-grandson, sisters Wanda Christian, Wilma Birdwell, and Gwyneth Bush. Rita is survived by her son Ralph Hamel and his wife Brenda of Odessa, two sisters Leona Hildebrand of Odessa and Joanne Mulligan of El Paso, four grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. The family has asked that any donations be made to Southwest Transplant Alliance, 5489 Blair Road, Dallas, 75231. Margaret Adine Brown DeWitt. Margaret Kinchelow DeWitt, 83, of McAllister, Oklahoma, passed away Thursday, April 30th at her home. A funeral was held Monday, May 4th at Cheney's Memorial Chapel with Reverend Zane Brooks officiating. She was laid to rest at Memory Gardens Memorial Park Cemetery in McAllister, Oklahoma. In lieu of flowers, please send memorial contributions to Southeast Hospice, 403 West Carl Albert Parkway, McAllister, Oklahoma, 74501. Margaret was born December 5th, 1936, in Quinton, Oklahoma, to Emmett and Lola Norris Brown. She is survived by her son, Mike Kinchelow, and wife, Patty of Odessa, daughters, Lisa Humphreys of Odessa and Pam Wells, and husband, Johnny of Claremore, Oklahoma, six grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, two brothers, Cecil Brown and wife Celia of Savannah, and Ronnie Brown and wife Sherry of Snowflake, Arizona, her sister, Joanne Brooks, and husband Ed of McAllister, Oklahoma, along with numerous nieces and nephews. Margaret is preceded in death by her husband, Ray DeWitt, her parents, Lola and Emmett Brown, and one sister, June Henderson. Death Notices. Jimmy Ross Waddell. Jimmy Ross Waddell, 89, of Sweetwater, died Sunday, May 6th. A graveside service was held May 9th at the Garden of Memories Cemetery. Arrangements are by McCoy Funeral Home of Sweetwater. Billy Eileen Morgan. Billy Eileen Morgan, 97, died Friday, May 8th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, May 11th, 2020. This is the obituary column, Monday, May 11th, 2020. Benigno Salazar Jr. Benigno Salazar Jr., 73, from Odessa, Texas, went to his Heavenly Father on Thursday, May 7th, 2020. He was born in Sanderson, Texas, and raised in Monahans. Ben was preceded in death by his father, Benigno Salazar Sr. and Lucy Lopez Salazar of Monahans, and his sister, Anita Martinez of Midland. Ben is survived by his ex-wife, Carmen Salazar, and daughter, Yvonne Salazar of Midland, and his son, Michael R. Salazar of Frisco, Texas. Ben was a proud papa to his two granddaughters, Zoe Kate and Lane Page Salazar, daughters of Yvonne Salazar. Ben was the eldest brother to his surviving brothers, Abel Salazar of Midland, Oscar Salazar of Monahans, and Humberto Salazar of Odessa, and his sister Diana Granado of Monahans. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home in Midland, Texas, have been entrusted with the services for Mr. Salazar. The family has decided to have a small memorial for Ben with immediate family and close friends in attendance. A celebration of life will be planned at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family is asking for donations to be given to Gifts of Hope. westtexasgiftsofhope.org. T.M. Hughes. T.M. Hughes III, M.D., unexpectedly passed away on April 24, 2020 at UMC Hospital in Lubbock, Texas. His family was by his side as he peacefully went to the Lord. T.M. was born in McKinney, Texas on August 18, 1955 to T.M. Hughes Jr. and Mary McKnight Hughes. T.M. is survived by his wife of 42 years, Cynthia Paperi Hughes, and their five children, Catherine Hughes Salt and her husband Anthony, Rebecca Hughes Werner and her husband Matthew, Rachel Hughes Christensen and her husband Kent, Ellen Hughes Delery and her husband Dean, and Matthew Hughes and his fiancée Eleanor Clark Brennan. He had six grandchildren and two more on the way. He is also survived by his sister Terry and her husband Terry Robbins, his aunts Jerry Ann Gentle, Betty Hughes, and Linda Hughes, his mother-in-law Modi Paperi, and his brothers and sister-in-law Ronald and Melanie Paperi, and Stephanie and Greg York, and seven nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Mary and T.M. Hughes Jr., his father-in-law Ronald Paperi, and sister-in-law Elizabeth Nicole Paperi. A funeral mass will be held in Houston on May 12th at 10:30 a.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church. If you plan on attending the funeral in Houston, the church is asking that you spread out between families and wear a mask due to COVID-19. A celebration of life will be held in Midland at a later date due to COVID-19. If you would like to attend, please email catesult@me.com so the family can let you know when the date is set.
This is Michael reading obituaries from the Odessa American, Monday, May 11th. Billy A. Morgan. Billy Eileen Morgan, age 91 of Odessa, passed away on May 8th in hospice care at Orchard Park Assisted Living in Odessa. Graveside services will be held Tuesday, May 12th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with John Hendricks officiating. Billy was born in Oakley, Kansas, October 28, 1928. She is preceded in death by her husband, J.P. Morgan, mother Grace J. Richards, brother Paul F. Jacka and wife Alice, and sister Bobby E. McDaniel and husband Jack. She is survived by three sons, Jay Hendricks and wife Susan of Odessa, John Hendricks and wife Kelly of Odessa, and Rick Hendricks and wife Teresa of San Antonio. In lieu of flowers, please make a memorial contribution to the Ronald McDonald House of Odessa or Highland United Methodist Church of Odessa. The family would like to thank the staff of Orchard Park Assisted Living of Odessa and Home Hospice for their care and compassion. Services entrusted to Sunset Odessa. Death notices. Juan Garcia Baca. Juan Garcia Baca, 70, of Odessa, died Saturday, May 9th. Chapel service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 13th at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors. Burial will follow at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors of Odessa. David Lynn Ross. David Lynn Ross, 61, of Odessa, died Friday, May 8th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Bowel changes could be IBS symptoms. Dear Dr. Roach, my 18-year-old daughter has had digestive problems on and off for a few years now. Her appendix was removed in March 2015. She had brutal abdominal pain, but the ultrasound scan didn't show anything wrong with her appendix. Summer 2018, she started having bad digestion problems. She could hardly hold anything in. The food came back out either by diarrhea or vomiting. Our family doctor sent her to a pediatric gastroenterologist. She had a complete workup, including stool cultures, the entire thing. They found nothing wrong with her. Now she has noticed that eating anything warm makes her feel wobbly. She often eats a popsicle when that happens, and the wobbliness magically disappears. Do you think it could be a problem with her vagus nerve? Our family doctor is not taking this possibility seriously at all and will not investigate it. She now has diarrhea only once or twice a month, which starts with pain or discomfort. She occasionally still has vomiting. The abdominal discomfort gets somewhat better after a bowel movement, but it's really the popsicle that makes it get better. J.M. Answer. Abdominal pain and changes in the bowel, especially in a young woman, should make the doctor consider irritable bowel syndrome. IBS is a disorder with how the bowel functions. It is extremely common, but many patients do not seek medical attention. People with irritable bowel syndrome may have diarrhea, constipation, or both, in addition to the abdominal pain. Relief of abdominal discomfort with a bowel movement supports the diagnosis of IBS. People with IBS generally find that certain foods trigger symptoms. However, I was able to find reports of people in whom meal temperature was a major catalyst. Both too cold meals and too hot meals can bring on IBS. If a too hot meal was a problem, it makes sense something cold may help, although some people can be triggered by both. I can only scratch the surface of this complex disease. There are many good places to find out more, including https://gi.org/topics/irritable-bowel-syndrome/. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 12th, 2020, etc. late wife's best friend stiff-arms man's interest. Dear Abby, my wife passed away, and I have fallen in love with her best friend. She feels she would be disrespecting my wife's name if she went out with me. How can I let her know my wife would not object to us dating? I don't know how to get her to understand my vows to my wife have been fulfilled with her passing. I will never forget her, and she will always be in my heart. But I feel I have room in my heart for this woman. She is a great person, and at some point I would like to have her as my wife. Advice, please. Going forward in Texas. Dear Going, you have stated your points both succinctly and pragmatically. It's understandable that you would be drawn to her, considering the close relationship you already had, I assume for many years. If you have told this lady what you have written to me as plainly as you stated it in your letter, and her feelings remain unchanged, it is possible that she is not as attracted to you as you are to her. And if that's the case, she should say so in plain English so you can look elsewhere. Dear Abby, my fiancé and I got engaged a few months ago and have been getting mixed messages from our parents about our wedding next year. Overall, they seem happy for us, but they don't show much interest in our relationship or the wedding either. Since we are gay, we are unsure whose, if any, parents we should ask to help us pay for the wedding. My fiancé's parents are very conservative and most likely wouldn't volunteer to contribute. My parents are likely the only ones who would help, but they haven't made any offers. We both have full-time jobs, but they are middle to low income, so help would be appreciated. Part of me resents them for not offering any help, since their parents pitched in for their festivities, and because they will undoubtedly expect invitations. Any advice you can give would be appreciated. Marrying in the West. Dear Marrying, welcome to the world of gay weddings, a subject that has cropped up since 2015 when it was legalized in all 50 states. There are no hard and fast rules covering this. Modern couples, both straight and gay, often pay for their own weddings to the extent their budgets allow. While you and your fiancé might raise the subject of pitching in with your parents, in the interest of family harmony, please try not to do it with prior resentments or expectations. Whether they agree or decline, you will be fine and your day will be special. Dear Abby, I was invited to a baby shower. Because of the virus that's going around, many people weren't planning on going, so they canceled the party. Should I still take them the gift I bought for their baby, or should I just forget it because they canceled the baby shower? Bearing a gift in New Mexico. Dear Bearing a Gift, do not just forget it. The kind and generous way to handle it would be to give the mother-to-be the gift, remembering that, in spite of the shower being canceled, she will still need things for her baby. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Capricorn until 10:39 a.m. when the moon enters Aquarius. Happy birthday for Tuesday, May 12, 2020. Talented, ironic, you may try to save the world this year and end by saving those most important to you. Your career will experience a lift, and finances will not be a problem. If single, you are too devoted to your mission to search very hard for a mate, but will enjoy some dating. If attached, you are very admired by your partner, but may break through to a greater closeness this year. Leo gives a lot of affection. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. It's a day to network online. Politics or work with a prestigious organization will be worthwhile. Friends inspire you to develop worthwhile goals. Avoid challenging others. An aggressive tactic on your part right now could backfire. Tonight, check in on an elderly colleague. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. You will be extremely busy with the daily job grind. Do not let volatile circumstances make you ill. It is likely that you will only be around such energies, not in the middle of them, and most likely not the cause of them. Tonight, relax. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Today brings a revelation in which the future flashes before you in some form or another. This causes you to rethink your values and life beliefs. You see that past sacrifices will definitely prove to be worth the effort in the future. Tonight, time travel. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Mentally turning off life's problems is difficult but not impossible. Instead of worrying about things you cannot control and spending time imagining the worst, find time to relax with a good book or do some creative writing. Tonight, get extra rest. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. The actions of others will energize you in a positive way, meaning that you should be able to find the cooperation necessary to ensure successful summer plans. Relate to others on a one-on-one basis for best results. Tonight, intimate date night. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. Do not let those famous Virgo nerves get the best of you. Impatience is rife, but count to 10 before you bite off all of your fingernails. All, including computer software, should soon be running smoothly and efficiently again. Tonight, organize your desk. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Actions now will lead to something big later. Do not let doubts discourage you. Children may drive you a little crazy, but the shouting matches soon subside. Your energy is high after midday. Tonight, check in on an elderly relative who just wants to talk. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Today creates a climate of ease and acceptance. Love trends are wonderful. There could be an age difference with someone to whom you develop an attachment. Spend time in the healing rays of the sun. Tonight, listen to a friend's qualms about a personal matter. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 2 stars. It is difficult keeping things harmonious amongst your friends today, but a solution is right around the corner. A neighbor might save the day. Do not be surprised if you suddenly feel drained of energy. Tonight, allow your hard-working self some time off to dream. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 2 stars. If you have been ensnared in a cycle of spending, you may be forced to cut back now. It is possible that a potential money-making opportunity has been temporarily put on hold. Do not despair. Patience is the key word for today. Tonight, early night sleep. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Today you will become more motivated and assertive. Due to your original ideas, controversy will tend to surround you. Focus on constructive outlets for your energy. Water sports and dance can be therapeutic. Tonight, a child or loved one has strong feelings to share. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Your thoughts turn toward security issues. Fulfilling your responsibilities leads to true happiness today. Focus on gaining a deeper understanding of yourself, including your limitations. With your tendency to daydream, you could misinterpret important details. Tonight, in your own private Idaho. Born today, Nurse Florence Nightingale, 1820, actress Katharine Hepburn, 1907, baseballer Yogi Berra, 1925.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.